Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Who's going to be in charge of the cap? Chris Olsen's job.
Kevin.
Kevin who?
I can't pronounce his last name. He's been here 13 years as Chris's assistant.
That's official?
He's the guy doing the contracts now.
Really? So Kevin.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Is it a sock in a sock and a shoe in a shoe, or a sock in a shoe and a sock in a shoe, J-Lo?
A sock in a shoe and a sock in a shoe. It's a sock in a shoe, right?
Why do you call something shipped on water a cargo, but when it's shipped on land, it's called a shipment?
Oh my gosh. I never even thought of that.
Why do we say going to the restroom if we're still awake?
By the way, our girl Tony, great loophole, says that the scent thing could go either way, because as in one scent, that's C-E-N-T.
Now that's something nobody's talking about.
That's true.
Nobody's right. Talking about guy.
She's right. So it can be the S or the C silent.
But which one
it
is
just
it?
Depends in the how word, you look at it.
In the word scent, S-C-E-N-T, which one is silent? I'm rethinking that now.
Scent, so it's a smell.
Yeah.
Scent.
Is it the S or the C? It could be. I'm still going to say the C because it's the second letter. But not necessarily. Man, this is deep thoughts right here. My brain is hurting.
I don't even know if I'm going to be able to finish the show. My gosh, I got a headache here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Working at home with you, for you, here on In the Loop. Landry Locker, the OG John Lopez, Figgy Fig. Deshaun Watson, he's been tweeting. Do you think there's a method to this madness? Do you think it's much to do about nothing? What is your reaction to the subliminal tweeting of DW4?
No one can say anymore that it's a coincidence or there's nothing to it. There's something to it. I wouldn't want to put too much into it just because he could be having some fun. You know, hey, he's quarantined like everybody else or staying at home like everybody else. And so he might be having fun, but I think it's 90% chance, at least 90% chance, that he's actually sending some kind of editorial opinion to those in charge over there.
I agree. And I think it's a good thing when an athlete has leverage to use that leverage and, you know, maybe provide some pushback if he feels like his career isn't in the right hands. I have no problem with Deshaun Watson doing that. And I don't think it needs to be behind closed doors, especially in this situation. I think keeping it behind closed doors only benefits one person. I think speaking out publicly and providing a little bit of pushback, that benefits the organization as a whole. And I look at Deshaun Watson as a voice of the people, so I have absolutely no issue with it. Speaking of Deshaun Watson, the best current athlete in H-Town, John, we're just going to go rapid fire.
Okay.
I did this practice, and I had Alex Bregman as my number one athlete. Sean Pendergast joined the show in the 11 o'clock hour, and he had the previously mentioned Deshaun Watson as his top athlete in H-Town. I'm just going to throw these at you, and I want you to pick your best athlete in H-Town, starting with the one seed in the Earl Campbell region, Deshaun Watson versus Eric Gordon.
Deshaun Watson, easy. That's a romp.
The four seed in the Earl Campbell region, George Springer versus the five seed, Zach Greinke.
Ask me in a year and it'll be Zach Greinke. Right now it's George Springer. I think Zach Greinke is coming on strong.
The three seed, J.J. Watt versus the six seed, friend of In the Loop, Michael Effin Brantley.
I wish it were Michael Effin Brantley, but it's J.J. Watt. This is another half a hundred.
Justin Verlander, the two seed, versus Laramie Tunsil, the seven.
Come on, man. What did Laramie win a play-in game? This is Justin Verlander all day long. This is Justin Verlander all day long.
Before we get to the Hakeem Olajuwon region, and Deshaun, George Springer, J.J. Watt, Justin Verlander all advanced, so all chalk in the Earl Campbell region. This exercise, sometimes when we do exercises like this for entertainment value, sometimes it can actually be very educational. There was a time about a year ago when the Texans roster, I don't think they had a lot of depth, but it was at least top heavy in regards to talent. With the departure of J.D. Clowney and with the departure of Nuke Hopkins, I don't think you can even say that this roster is top heavy anymore. And the depth, we already know the questions about depth. It was an alarming enlightenment, to say the least.
Yeah, no, and DeAndre Hopkins would be a two seed. Jadeveon Clowney would be a three seed, you know? So, yeah, I agree with you.
All right, the Hakeem Olajuwon region, James Harden, the one seed, versus Mike Meltzer's favorite player, Ryan Pressly.
He's awesome, Ryan Pressly. He really is. But I'm going to say James Harden.
James Harden.
That guy is awesome. He is an awesome, awesome.
Well, he's also eliminated Mike Meltzer. The four seed, Russell Westbrook versus Carlos Correa. Did you see that Carlos Correa video yesterday?
Dude. He's throwing back. He's throwing her shot. I mean, that was awesome.
By the way, like Carlos Correa's got a stroke. You see him hit seven in a row from deep?
Yeah. I'm going to say Correa.
You're giving Correa over Westbrook.
Correa over Westbrook. I think the accumulation of everything that he's done in this offseason, kind of being the only voice of reason or one of the few voices of reason out there in the wake and the honesty of him all, and I think gaining popularity. I think Russell Westbrook, we can all say, is the best player on the Rockets right now. Well, not right now, but has been. But I think Correa wins it. And also, keep in mind, they're still.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about this, Russell. Russell, there's still a segment of the population here in Houston that like Russell Westbrook because they have to. I mean, they spent a decade just ripping him. I'm going to say Correa.
By the way, what did you think about her in yoga pants? Figgy's like the biggest Sparkle Princess fan now after seeing her in the yoga pants.
Yeah, I approve. I mean,
I don't need to say anything more than that.
I really don't need to say anything more than that.
Jose Altuve.
I probably shouldn't say anything more than that.
The three seed versus Zach Cunningham. Yes, Zach Cunningham made the Sweet 16 bracket.
Was he in a play-in game too?
Versus Zach Cunningham.
Altuve.
The two seed, Alex Bregman versus Will Fuller.
What the hell is Will Fuller doing on here? And Laramie Tunsil. Alex Bregman.
John, go through the list. It's depressing.
It's depressing.
It's depressing. So we only have one upset in the first round of the current best athlete in Houston, and that was Carlos Correa overtaking Russell Westbrook. Back up to the Earl Campbell region. The one seed Deshaun Watson versus the four seed George Springer.
Got to go with Deshaun. Got to go with Deshaun. All due respect, George.
DW4 advances to the Final Four. The three seed J.J. Watt versus the two seed Justin Verlander.
I don't care what he's playing like. It's J.J. Watt all day, every day.
Over the Cy Young winner?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
There you go. We're going to have J.J. Watt versus Deshaun Watson in the Final Four. But before we do that, in the Hakeem Olajuwon region, we have James Harden versus Carlos Correa.
Got to go with Harden. I think it's closer than you think. This is a buzzer beater. I think Harden knocks down the shot at the end.
All right, so Harden advances to the Final Four. Jose Altuve, arguably the best player in Astros franchise history, versus the best player of the last 2 years for the Houston Astros, the baseball messiah known by the government name of Alex Bregman.
I'm going with Bregman, man. I mean, it's hard to say anything bad about Altuve, but I think Bregman is kind of entrenched himself as that guy. I'm going with Bregman.
All right. Final four up in the Earl Campbell region. Deshaun Watson, the face of the offense, versus J.J. Watts, arguably the best player in Texans franchise history. Who wins?
This is a tough decision to make. This is how I'm judging it. If these two guys were sitting next to each other at an autograph signing, who would have the longest line? I think it would be J.J. Watt still by a little bit.
I think you're crazy.
I'm going to go with J.J. Watt.
What?
I think he'd have
Watt
the longer line.
Okay, so you're adding star power into your evaluation.
Yeah. I think he'd still have the longest line.
Okay. So J.J. Watt advances to the finals. By the way, we got another question from a loophole. Shout out to Gilbert Luna. Why do they call them apartments if they're not apart?
Dude. I'm not gonna be able to sleep tonight thinking about all these questions.
All right, so J.J. Watt awaits the winner of the one seed James Harden in the Hakeem Olajuwon region versus the baseball messiah Alex Bregman. James Harden versus the baseball messiah Alex Bregman.
I think there's enough people in Houston that are frustrated with James Harden that Alex Bregman would win this battle head to head, so it's going to be Bregman for me.
All right, so the finals in the John Lopez Best Current Houston Athletes Showdown, the baseball messiah Alex Bregman versus the best player in the history of the Texans franchise, J.J. Watts.
Whew. Those lines might be pretty close, Bregman and J.J. Watt. If that's the ultimate deciding factor for me, but I think J.J. would still have a little bit of an edge. I'm going to say J.J. wins it, best athlete.
Sometimes you got to man up and clap them cheeks.
Okay, so J.J. Watt, as a three seed, rolls through the finals in the John Lopez bracket. So we've presented this bracket three times today because the Sweet 16 was supposed to be today, and we are giving you Sweet 16 brackets here on In the Loop. J.J. Watt won for Lopez. Alex Bregman won for me. Deshaun Watson won for Sean Pendergast.
Yep.
Star power keeps getting trimmed more and more around here. You notice that?
Especially we talked about Texans.
This Good a year God. Ago. I mean, if
Laramie
you go back.
Laramie Tunsil, Zach Cunningham, and Will Fuller. I mean, all due respect.
Just a year ago, if we would have done this, had this exercise, Garrett Cole would have been on the list. I guess Chris Paul would be there instead of Westbrook. You would have Jadeveon Clowney, and you would have Nuke Hopkins on the list.
Yeah.
Now Zach Cunningham makes the list.
Shane Lechler would be more recognizable than Laramie Tunsil, Zach Cunningham, and Will Fuller. If Shane Lechler, answer this honestly, all right?
Come on, man.
Answer me this honestly.
Come on, man. Come on, now.
All right. You got to be honest. Promise me you're going to be honest.
I'm always honest.
If Laramie Tunsil, Zach Cunningham, Will Fuller, and Shane Lechler were in line at Starbucks, who would most people recognize first?
Say it again.
If Laramie Tunsil, Zach Cunningham, Will Fuller, and Shane Lechler were in line at Starbucks, 6 feet apart, of course, who would be recognized first?
Laramie Tunsil, dude. There aren't very many people that are that huge that look like Laramie Tunsil.
Let me tell you what would happen.
Every guy I see looks like Shane Lechler.
No, but he's recognizable. People know who he is. If Laramie Tunsil was in line and this middle-aged couple or young couple from the suburbs were in line behind him, the wife would elbow the husband and say, "That guy looks like somebody." That's what they would say about Laramie Tunsil.
Hey, do you play basketball?
Yeah, that guy looks like an athlete. If those same couples saw Shane Lechler, at least one of the couples, one of the members of each couple would say, hey, that's Shane Lechler.
All right, this is something that I can't prove, so I'll just let you have this, Shayla. I'll let you have this.
Somebody? Does he play sports?
Hey, what do you do?
Yeah.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Pig with you here, Sports Radio 610. The one thing people are doing during this quarantine that is driving John Lopez nuts, and the day that was supposed to be that isn't next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, there's something people are doing during this quarantine that has John Lopez shaking his head, to say the very least. He's very frustrated with something people are doing. The OG John Lopez, myself, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610, working at home with you, for you. John, what's bothering you so much?
I'll tell you, and I think this is something that hopefully everybody listening will take heed. First, somebody on the text board said Will Fuller would be recognized because of his dreads. He cut them off.
He cut them off. There's no dreads for Will.
Honey, doesn't that guy do something? He looks like
an athlete. Honestly, he wouldn't be recognized. And I'll take this back to the Best Bugs tour that we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big black dude at the the second stop of the Best Bugs tour.
Uh-huh.
Big dude. I mean, he didn't look like it. Like, he played professional football or anything, but he was a big dude. And somehow, some drunk lady, her friends convinced her that it was Jadeveon Clowney, and she took a picture with him and showed it to me and said, why didn't y'all have Clowney on? And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, he was here, and she showed me the picture, and I was like, no, that's damn sure not J.D. Clowney. I can promise you that. So they wouldn't recognize Will. They would just say, hey, do you play football?
Back in my younger days, somebody insisted that I autograph a basketball. It was in the 1986 NBA All-Star game. I was covering it. And I came out of the locker room after some interviews. And some guy and his wife had a little kid, and they had a basketball that everybody was signing. And they said, hey, Mark Price. And I don't I'm telling you. Well, keep in mind, I was 24 years old.
At what point in your life did you look like Mark Price with that curly-ass hair?
Never, ever, ever. I had big curly hair and all, everything else. But they were just insistent that I signed the basketball. I ended up not signing it. I told them a couple of times. I just shook my head because they were up on the rail, you know, a little higher than me. Because it was at the Astrodome. That was actually the Astrodome All-Star game in 86. And I said, no, I'm not Mark Price. I go, come on, sign it. Don't be a jerk. And I'm like, dude, I'm not Mark Price, man. Look at a picture of Mark Price. I look nothing like Mark Price, but I was just a younger dude coming out of the locker room. And right, I wasn't black.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But you weren't white either. So I don't know where this goes. But what is bothering you that people are doing during the quarantine, J-Lo?
All right, y'all pay attention and please take heed. I'm not trying to preach, but I think it's good advice. So on my block yesterday, there was some neighbors talking with each other, you know, keeping their distance a good 3-4 feet away. And somebody, one of them, like, had something in their hands and was going to give it to him, and then like step back, like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll just set it here, or I'll just hand it to you from a distance, or whatever. It was like keys or something, I don't know what it was. And the other neighbor goes, oh, no, I trust you. Well, no, don't trust me. You know, it's not a matter of, it's not like I'm treating you like you've got some horrible, you know, like you're a leper or something, you know. No, you don't know where people have gone, what grocery stores they've gone to, what coffee shops they've gone to, filling up their car at the gas station. You know, just because you're friends and you're close with someone, they're like, oh, I trust you. Just come on, just give it to me. No, don't trust anyone. No one. And it's not like you don't trust them. You just don't know where, you know, what they've touched, who they've been around, what they've ingested, you know, whether it's, you know, because obviously it's coronavirus, you're hearing all kinds of different things. But one thing that we consistently hear is that it has been transmitted, you know, in close proximity, even, you know, not necessarily just touching someone, but, you know, kind of, I don't know how to put it other than say like breathing the same air or whatever. Don't do that. Just keep your distance and be safe for the good of everyone.
Yeah, that's just kind of silly to say you trust certain people. I mean, there's really no exceptions as to who can and can't get the coronavirus. I wonder this, though. Once this is all done and once we're allowed to go back to normal, once the hardworking people of Houston are allowed to go back to their everyday lives, or you can, the restaurants are reopened, the stores are reopened, is it just going to be business as usual? Or is there going to be in the back of your mind a certain level of caution that you approach? Let's say you're at a sports bar and you're watching a game. You know, normally when the team scores, you're dabbing everyone up, you're slapping hands, you're eating out of the same chips and salsa. Is it just going to go back to normal? Or is there going to be, because this is like something that we've never seen, at least in my lifetime, is there going to be like a certain level of caution that you approach situations that you didn't used to approach that way when we return to normal?
I know I will. And you and I have had this conversation recently. I think you will too. What about like wiping down a machine, you know, at your health club? What about drinking out of a water fountain? I've never thought twice about drinking out of a water fountain because Houston has good water, you know, and all that stuff. And what about that stuff? I know I'm going to be a lot more careful. I feel like most people will. It's certainly enlightened a lot of people just how germs are transmitted and how easily germs are transmitted, how you approach things.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to – I don't think I'm going to be as much of a dabber as I was before. I say that now, but
bring things happening around too. There have been some really good things, some heartwarming things happening around town. I put it on my Facebook page, that teacher parade video of that teacher parade out at Maple Brook in Atascocita. I thought that was really, really cool. All the kids went to the curb at their respective houses, and all the teachers drove by real slow with a police escort, waving and talking to them and holding up signs, and the kids were holding up signs. That was really cool. And then I saw today, I think you got this email or text as well. How about that Panaderia, that Mexican bakery, or that bakery in Texas City? They had all this flour, all these eggs, and all this other stuff. And obviously down in Texas City, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of oil workers and plant workers that, you know, the grocery stores have been picked over. They don't find, you know, a lot of the essentials that they need. So with all that stuff, rather than making sweetbread, you know, and pastries and stuff, they're making actual loaves of bread and putting them in boxes and selling them like really, really cheap. So guys and girls are just kind of, you know, coming by there at the end of their shift and getting these loaves of bread. That's really, really cool. I mean, stuff like that. I think a lot of people have sort of just kind of reset their entire thinking and way of thinking. I think that's really cool.
Did you see Mattress Mac yesterday handing out Chick-fil-A sandwiches and drinks for anybody who wanted a come-and-go lunch?
Yeah, I love stuff like that. And I mean, it's all around the country. People are doing things like that. But Houston just seems to have that gene a little more, you know, a little more than other people. I guess it's because we've been, you know, whipped by hurricanes so many times and had to help each other so many times and flooding. And it just makes you happy to be in Houston.
OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, working at home with you, for you here on Sports Radio 610. We're going to have a post-game show of the Sweet 16 showdowns that we've presented. And I'm going to pose the following question to John Lopez. I want the answer to this, and I think it will be extremely telling. If Bill O'Brien wanted to trade Deshaun Watson, would he be allowed to do so? That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
If Bill O'Brien wanted to trade Deshaun Watson, let's just pretend King Bill wanted to trade Deshaun Watson, would he be allowed to do it? Would anyone stop him from doing that? Answer that question for me, J-Lo.
I don't know if I can. I don't know if anybody can, because doesn't it depend on the circumstance? In other words, if Deshaun Watson had a big say in this and like, I cannot play for this guy, But as we all know, Cal McNair and the Texans are married to Bill O'Brien. Would that be an impact? Would they all of a sudden say, hey, I hear what you're saying, Bill O'Brien, and maybe make the deal? But I think just in general, all things being equal, the answer is no. He cannot trade Deshaun Watson.
Even if he wanted to? I'll be honest with you. Like,
do you think someone would step in?
Yes. I think that would.
Someone being Cal? That would be what got the attention?
That would be the only person who could stop Bill O'Brien from doing anything at this point, right? I mean,
and that's,
it's crazy because if Deshaun Watson and all these kind of coded tweets that he's sending out are very clear that something's going on, that something is, if not bothered him, has gotten his attention. If all of a sudden he says, I can't play here. I don't want to play here. This is not, it's not about Houston. It's not about the fans. I just don't feel like this is the best place for me. And there are a lot of people who are speculating that that's exactly what he feels. You know, maybe all of a sudden, you know, is it him or me for Bill O'Brien? And I think most of us would choose him. But what are the, you know, what are the McNairs thinking? And that's where it gets a little dicey.
And that's where I can appreciate Deshaun Watson providing a little bit of pushback. I'm not going to go extreme and say Deshaun Watson wants out of town. I don't think that's the case. He does have a good offensive line. The arrow is still pointing up, quite frankly. You know, this is a situation where Deshaun Watson could get paid the most money, and it's probably where he is going to play the majority of his career. But I think even if it's just a little subtle tweet in something that is far from ironic, I mean, it's obvious that these tweets mean something. I think putting that out there publicly is providing the front office. And the front office could end up looking right. David Johnson could be the focal point of the offense, and let's say the offense just looks awesome with Deshaun Watson. I'm still worried about the defense, but I think there's reason, there's context clues to be hesitant to buy into what King Bill and Jack Easterby are doing right now. And if just a little bit of pushback from the one guy, as you just said, the one guy that would be able to get the attention of King Bill, if that comes just at the sake of a couple of tweets, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good representation of the voice of the people. And I have absolutely zero issue with Deshaun Watson doing what he's doing.
None at all. I'm glad he is, to be honest. I wish he would, you know, because he's going to get asked about it at some point, at some event, or when they get back or whatever. I think he would actually, I think he should just explain it honestly and talk about it honestly. I really do, because I think, you know, if he feels that strongly about it, then he should clearly either him or his agent has let the Texans know, but I think he should let the public know, yeah, I'm with you. You know, this isn't right. I know what the blowback is. By the way, I don't, at this point, I feel like at Houston Texans on Twitter is tweeting things just because they think it's funny too, how every response, every comment is like, what was the one this morning? It was hilarious. It was always John Weeks. You know, this veteran is back for another year, you know, and people were texting, yeah, I know, I'll tell you who's not back, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, fire King Bill, fire Bill O'Brien. God, it's incredible, the blowback, the pushback that they're getting on this latest with Bill O'Brien.
I mean, I don't know that they're doing that on purpose. I just think they're tweeting as is, and they're just getting the blowback from the fans. I don't necessarily think that they're trolling or anything. I think they're just going about business as usual.
But it's every – if you want to laugh, go to at Houston Texans and click on tweets and replies. Oh, my gosh. It's everything they tweet. People are just like, yeah, but fire Bill O'Brien. Okay, but they donated another $100,000.
They told you to wash your hands.
Yeah.
And it was fire Bill O'Brien.
wash this place of Bill O'Brien. That's what I want. God, it's incredible.
I mean, I don't think it's going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Show was talking about it the other day. Show and Clint, we're going to pass it off to them. You know, they were talking about would winning solve, you know, any animosity or any dissatisfaction with Bill O'Brien. And, you know, we had McClain on, and McClain said if they make the AFC Championship, something they've never done, the fan base would back off. And I just – I – I told McClain I would tap the brakes on that because the Jaguars made the AFC Championship 2 years ago. The Titans made it last season. The Colts made it with Andrew Luck when Chuck Pagano was on his last legs as a head coach. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sitting here saying if the Texans won a Super Bowl that, you know, the fan base wouldn't, you know, sweep the DeAndre Hopkins to the side. But I don't think it I don't think it's as simplistic as, oh, the Texans finally make an AFC championship and all of a sudden the fans just forget about the way things have gone. I think it would have to matter how exactly it happened. I just don't think you can simplify the situation and say, oh, they've gone further than they have. There you go. All is good. I think the bar should be raised a little bit. I think,
you know what?
I think the bar should be raised.
I've fallen into that trap as well. I've been saying for a long time that, you know, he's got to get at least to the AFC Championship game, something they've never done before. While I think that would, you know, that would absolutely, you know, stave off some of this that's going on around Bill O'Brien. But I don't think he has any margin for error. I mean, let's say they get to the AFC Championship game and they're 13-4 in the regular season, you know? All of a sudden, they blow another 24-point lead. Then what's going to happen? It's almost as if it has to be Super Bowl or bust when it comes to Bill O'Brien. It has to be at this point. I've fallen trap into the exact opposite. I was like, oh, you know, you got to get to the AFC Championship. I'm not even sure that's good enough if they don't win it.
I just don't see how you can... I don't know. I just think you just have to feel good about the roster construction and stuff. You know, I don't know that this, you know, I think comparing this situation to other situations, I think it's dangerous because I really think that what the Texans are doing right now is like nothing we've seen in a long time. I mean, we've seen guys like the Chip Kellys, the Mike Nolans, maybe get full power of an organization before they should or when they probably shouldn't and when their coaching resume doesn't validate it. But we haven't seen someone get this type of power and make the type of moves that we've seen being made the last year. Giving away Jadeveon Clowney, trading DeAndre Hopkins for pennies on the dollar. Something like this has not been seen in a long time.
No. I mean, you know how long I've been doing covering sports in this city. I don't know if I've seen – I mean, Jerry Glanville, you know, get the hate that was on him and some of these other coaches that were just inept and disliked. And it still wasn't anything like this. I've never seen anything like this.
I mean, when we go to training camp, obviously, you know, the DeAndre Hopkins thing is going to be, you know, it's going to be in the rearview mirror. And we're just going to have to evaluate this team as is. And that's really when it just comes down to what's on the field. But the one thing that I think, and I don't know, I think McClain said that Bill O'Brien will speak before the draft, which is less than a month from now. So we will hear Bill O'Brien speak. He can't go up there and act like, well, time has passed since DeAndre Hopkins was gone. We got to move past it. He's at least got to address this head on, right?
You would think.
I mean, right?
You would think, but I don't know if he will. Do you think he will?
I don't know what to think anymore. Yeah. I mean, I think he owes it to DeAndre. I think he owes it to Texans fans to be transparent with what exactly is going into your line of thinking.
Go ahead.
I think the over paranoia that he shows at times, it doesn't pay off. Like, there's some things that you need to keep in-house, but there's something that you can be transparent about. If you did something, you need to explain it. You need to go up there and not say this is in the best interest of the team. You just need to say, and it's been done, but just say, look, I think
it wasn't
David
working
Johnson
out between
is,
us. Yeah.
It wasn't working out between us. We think that Deshaun Watson can spread the ball. David Johnson is the focal point of this offense, we think is better, and we think our offense is going to take significant strides under Tim Kelly with Kenny Stills, with Will Fuller, and David Johnson as the focal point is going to be something. We feel like he validated the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Not, it's in the best interest of the team.
Then a lot of people, the majority of people, the vast majority of people would still disagree with you because of DeAndre Hopkins and what he's accomplished. But at least you're saying this is why we did it. This is what we believe. You're actually telling us what you believe the best interest of the team is. Not just this vague, it's in the best interest of the team. What the hell does that mean? It's in the best interest of the team. How? Why? What? What is the best interest of the team? If you said that, what you just pointed out, you know, the David Johnson, we want him to be the focal point of the offense. We think Deshaun Watson could. Okay. I mean, at least I hear you. You know, I don't necessarily agree with you, but at least I hear you. And a texter, 8343, brought up a really good point. It does have to be getting to the Super Bowl, because if they get to the AFC Championship game and lose, then everybody in town is going to be wondering what they would have done had they had DeAndre Hopkins. You know, especially if Hopkins has a huge year this year for Arizona.
I just think you're the Texans. I don't think just because you've underachieved as an organization, and we've gone team by team with the Texans since they came in the league, like that compared to everyone else, and we've seen expansion teams in the past. I mean, it's just been disappointing. I mean, there's mm-hmm. no other way to say it. It's been disappointing. So I don't think that you just lower the bar because of what has or hasn't happened. I don't think right. You sit there and say, well, they've never been to the AFC Championship, so they got there, and now all of a sudden all is right. Again,
right.
I say this 100 right. times. Every team in this division, not named the Houston Texans, has been to the AFC Championship since Bill O'Brien's been here. Chuck Pagano got fired a couple years later after making it to the AFC Championship. We knew that was a sinking ship. Okay,
right.
Mike Vrabel got there in his second year. The Jags got there with Blake Bortles. And since then, they've completely depleted their roster. Over half those guys aren't even there now. So that doesn't tell you that you're heading in the right direction. I just think you got to raise the bar, and you got to feel better about the way things are going. But we got plenty of time to discuss this. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. It was supposed to be opening day for the Stros, one of the best annual days here in H-Town. Also supposed to be the starts of the Sweet 16 in March Madness. We went through the In the Loop Sweet 16. We pondered stoner questions, which, my gosh, they're going to keep me up. We also had the best mixed drink. The margarita dominated the best mixed drink. We had the best local athlete. Myself, you, and Sean Pendergast had three different answers. I had Alex Bregman. You had J.J. Watt, and Sean had Deshaun Watson. The historical figure you would most want to be quarantined with, myself and Sean did that. Richard Pryor won. Richard Pryor mm-hmm. took the cake on that. The athlete you would want to be quarantined with historically, Charles Barkley won. And the best Tex-Mex item was enchiladas. What sticks out the most during our Sweet 16 showdowns, J-Lo?
Well, you and I didn't get to really dig into the historical figures. I feel like Richard Pryor was a great one. I mean, he brings it all, right? He brings the party, brings the fun, brings the intelligence, brings the humor. I mean, that you can't go wrong with Richard Pryor. I believe Marilyn Monroe was in the finals with him. But it also depends on, you know, there was an arts and entertainment bracket, and there was a house party bracket. It also depends on, like, is this this going to be, you know, at least 14 days, maybe longer? Wouldn't you want to learn something? See, that's you know, I put this bracket together, these brackets, and I would love.
You don't think you'd learn anything from Richard Pryor?
Oh, you'd learn a lot. But I'm talking about, like, meaningful things, like Abraham Lincoln, you know, was on the bracket. William Shakespeare was in the bracket. Albert Einstein was in the bracket. Wouldn't you want to spend a couple of weeks and just absorbing, like, everything that those people knew and experienced, and what life was like? What was life like when Cleopatra was around? Cleopatra faced off against John Lennon, I believe. That, to me, would be pretty dang cool.
I feel like you could learn just as much from Richard Pryor. I feel like street smarts are just as valuable as anything Albert Einstein could teach me.
Well, yeah, but you can learn street smarts right now. Spend 2 weeks with William Shakespeare, you know, or Abraham Lincoln.
He would drive me nuts. I would tell him to shut the hell up.
William
Shakespeare? I would tell him to shut up and go away. Get the hell out of my house, man.
You would tell William Shakespeare to get the hell out of your house.
Get the hell out of here. Richard, come on down. I do not want to hear William Shakespeare ramble and blab while I'm trying to get quarantined. My goodness. What you wouldn't be able to watch Lincoln? A freaking – have you watched the Tiger King yet?
No, I need to.
Oh, my God.
Is it that good?
Oh, did you ever watch Making a Murder?
Yes.
It's way better than Making a Murder. Way, way better than Making a Murder.
Wow.
Way better.
There's not even a little part of you that would, like, keep in mind, this was in the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, William Shakespeare. I mean,
what is Abe going to tell me?
Like, what he was thinking, what it was like.
I know he freed the slaves, but, I mean, what is Abe going to tell me? What is Abe Lincoln? You're going to tell, like, an hour with Abe Lincoln would be enough. Okay, I've got enough from Honest Abe Lincoln. Get the hell out of here. Richard Pryor, let's kick it.
So you basically just said,
With Abe Lincoln. I'll have a lunch with Abe Lincoln after the quarantine's over. We can meet at Grace's and we can do what to do. Richard Pryor, me and you can kick it for 2 weeks.
You basically said, listen, Abe, I know you freed the slaves, but I want to know what it was like for Richard Pryor to grow up in a bordello.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
How about Lennon? How about John freaking?
You want to talk about a beating. You want to talk about a beating.
A beating?
Oh, my God, dude. Could you imagine having to talk coronavirus with John Lennon?
Dude,
it would
be awesome.
Go back to, like, conspiracy theories and all this stuff.
He would have the answer. Plus, it's a double whammy. He would
Yoko
have the
would be blowing up his phone. Yoko would be blowing up his phone the whole time.
When
that dude
you
get would probably
home?
That dude would be, that dude would be FaceTiming Yoko the whole time. I wouldn't even be able to spend some time with John Lennon.
It's like, you've been out too long. I hate your friends.
Why are you spending so much time with him?
But John Lennon would actually have the answer to stoner questions. He'd have you'd be like, yeah, you're right, John.
So would Richard Pryor. Right. Richard Pryor would have the answer to all those questions. Those questions were made for Richard Pryor.
He did. He would. You couldn't have. I mean, Richard Pryor did more coke than anything. And how about Marilyn Monroe?
Lennon did acid.
How about Marilyn Monroe?
I said this. Look, it would be cool to be around Marilyn Monroe, and if you smashed, you smashed. But I mean, there's still that time after the smash, dude.
But it's more than that. She slept with Joe DiMaggio and John F. Kennedy. Can you imagine the secrets?
So what am I going to do? Ask her about the size of Joe DiMaggio's piece?
No. Like, what did JFK tell you about the Cuban Missile Crisis? What did JFK tell you about, whatever the big things?
Think she was paying attention? Hold up. Lopez. You're telling me that JFK, whenever Marilyn Monroe would sneak in the secret room of the White House, would talk about the Cuban Missile Crisis with her?
Pillow talk.
Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
Joe DiMaggio?
Come on, bro. They ain't talking about no Cuban Missile Crisis.
I mean, just the things that she's heard, been around.
She's been around.
Yeah. Yeah,
hell
absolutely.
No.
But I would probably go with Abe Lincoln or Shakespeare.
Abe.
Yeah,
Shakespeare.
Yes. Yes.
All right. To each his own. I'm going to kick you with Richard Pryor.
She slept with, like, Marlon Brando, Frank Sinatra. Dude, Marilyn Monroe or Abe Lincoln would be so much better than Richard Pryor.
I'll take laughs, kicking it, and maybe some wild times with Richard Pryor. You can get Marilyn Monroe's sex stories with Joe DiMaggio.
Okay, I will.
And William Shakespeare blabbing about whatever the hell he's going to blab about. That's the OG John Lopez.
And I'll tell you the Joe DiMaggio story. Back when
that
I first started.
You and Marilyn. I wonder if she slept
Marilyn,
with the general.
By the way, Marilyn's lucky she was born when she was. She wouldn't have been able to get away with nearly as much as she got away with back then.
Well, she kind of didn't. She committed suicide.
Okay.
The pressure did get to her.
Yeah, well.
How about Hugh Hefner?
Man, he can't bring his hose. So it's just you and Hugh. He's cool, but he's not that cool. What makes Hugh cool is his chicks, right?
Keith Richards?
Hell no.
Bill Clinton?
he was close. That would be
cool. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
That's cool. It's been cool being with you here. We are working at home with you, for you. Again, if you need to find some job openings, some restaurants where you can go grub during this quarantine, sportsradio610.com/dedicatedtohouston. Send us your home highlights on Twitter, hashtag 610 home highlights. We thank you very much for listening to us. Seriously, we can't thank you enough for all the feedback, everything you've done. We're doing everything we can to provide the service we provide you with here at Sports Radio 610 all day. For the OG John Lopez and Abe Lincoln, for Biggie Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I am Landry Locker. I'm going to go kick it with my man Richard Pryor. Hopefully, we don't set ourselves on fire. Show and Clint Sterner are next.
I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.